I was in the California wine country in Sonoma, officiating at a wedding. It was really nice. But you know, the wine country is a lot like the hill country, except the hills are higher and the trees are greener and it's a lot cooler. And the wine might be better. No, well, okay. But before I left, I finished a Sunday prosperity series. Every summer we do a prosperity series, and it goes beyond money. It is about having life more abundantly. But I heard myself talking in that series about healing, because the same principles apply. The spiritual laws are the same for prosperity, healing, relationships, or anything else. But I believe healing is the area of our lives where it is hardest to apply principle. For me, anyway. We're bombarded with these messages that we will get sick and that aging is just a series of physical breakdowns, which so far, yeah, seems to be true. It seems like about half my friends are dealing with major illnesses, some of them life-threatening. There's this huge industry that has grown up to fight the threat, although they have yet to keep anyone alive forever. Then, too, I've had this tendonitis in my ankle since March. You've seen me limping around in a boot. And I did exactly what I was taught to do as a child. Go to the doctor, do exactly what they say, which is not necessarily wrong, and it's much better. I've become a believer in physical therapy. But I had trouble remembering to check my thoughts or love my foot or meditate or whatever I might do. I just asked, "What's wrong with you?" And then I went to experts to get it fixed. Sometimes principle just goes out the window when it's your body. So a healing series. We teach what we need to learn. And this series is based on two books and a movie. I plan to show the movie after the potluck on September 1st. It's a new movie. It's called The Cure Is... dot, dot, dot. And spoiler alert, the cure is you. It's just a little over an hour, and they say it is to healing what the secret was to prosperity. I kind of like it, and I thought you would like it, especially because there's a lot of science in it from Bruce Lipton, who wrote The Honeymoon Effect, which is the book we just studied in our Tuesday book group. Remember, he started out as a stem cell biologist, so he talks a lot about how the brain works. But it also has Bernie Siegel, Greg Braden, Marianne Williamson. We don't just know that our minds have power over our bodies, but increasingly we know how. And that's what the movie is about. So plan to stay after the potluck. That's in 2 weeks. We might have a little discussion afterwards, but you'll be out of here by 2:30. And then two books for this series, one old and one new. We're starting today with Mind Over Medicine, which is a new Hay House book by Lissa Rankin. We have it in the bookstore. Lissa is, I think she's now about 43. She dreamed always of being a doctor. Her dad was a doctor. She did all those years in medical school. And practicing medicine in today's healthcare system nearly destroyed her. Her health and 2 out of 3 marriages. She was seeing 40 patients a day for a few minutes each. So she finally quit. She just quit. She moved to the Redwoods in California. And she thought she was done forever with medicine. But after a couple of years and time to heal and reflect, she says now she is feeling called to heal the healthcare system itself, which she knows sounds really grandiose. And I don't know where it will go, but it's not focused on how we pay for it. It's focused on how people are cared for. So she's doing a lot of work with doctors. But she also got interested in mind-body healing. Now, you all are much easier to convince than she was that the mind has the power to heal the body. And it's fun to read how she discovered all these studies from the past 50 years. And she kept saying, "Why didn't they tell us this in med school?" I was amazed, too, at the volume of studies that are out there. So the book Mind Over Medicine is really nothing new for us. What I like is that everything's in one place. She compiled all those studies. She talks about what else is important for our health, like where you live and who you're with. And then the whole third section is writing a prescription for yourself, for your own health. And it's so much more than diet and exercise. So today we'll talk about the power of our minds to heal our bodies. Since Unity was founded on healing ourselves, this is right on point for us. Then next week I'll tell again the story of Myrtle Fillmore and how her healing led to the founding of Unity. Most of you know that story. I'm like a little kid. I like to hear stories over and over. Or maybe I'm like an old person. I tell them over and over. But we can look at her book, Healing Letters, which are letters she wrote to people who asked, how did you heal yourself? She told them. And then the third week, we'll talk specifically about the power of prayer to heal, which is also Unity's foundation. And we are approaching Unity's World Day of Prayer on September 12th. So today, mind over medicine. How to stay healthy, how the mind controls the body. Just two categories, what you do and what you think. What we do is far more than diet and exercise. For instance, did you know living in a tight-knit community is healthy? And loneliness kills? Going to religious services regularly will add years to your life. Truly, you will live longer than the ones staying home this morning. And I've got studies to prove it. When you combine those two, one study looked at heart surgery patients who had support from their religious community. They were three times more likely to be alive 6 months after their surgery. What we do matters to our health because actions reflect what we think and believe. So you don't just want to work in a safe place where you won't be hurt by machinery. You want to work in a place where you find meaning in the work. It's not just living in a tight-knit community, but whether you find support from those people instead of stress. Stress, as you know, causes about 90% of disease, they think now. And stress is entirely about how we think and feel and respond to the outer events in our lives. You cannot be stressed without your permission. We do it to ourselves, and then it shows up in our bodies. Now, that's old news now, but I didn't know that the link between stress and illness has only come about since the 1960s. There was a Harvard cardiologist named Herbert Benson who started talking to his colleagues about whether stress might cause high blood pressure. They thought he was wacko, but he started researching it, and he ran across B.F. Skinner's work on biofeedback and learned that even monkeys could lower their blood pressure. That work also caught the attention of the transcendental meditation crowd because they had been suspecting that the meditation they did lowered their blood pressure. So Dr. Benson got together with a doctoral researcher who was studying transcendental meditation, and they did a study, and the results were unmistakable. People meditating had a lower heart rate, lower respiratory and metabolic rates, and lower blood pressure all the time, whether they were meditating or not. Now, this is when the Beatles were into transcendental meditation, so it was pretty woo-woo for a Harvard doctor. But Herbert Benson went ahead and wrote a popular mainstream book called The Relaxation Response. And he taught people to spend 10 to 20 minutes a day relaxing their bodies and just focusing on a word or phrase. I don't think he even used the term mantra. But Benson ended up spending his whole career on this. And study after study showed an endless list of physical problems got better with just 10 or 20 minutes a day of relaxation. The relaxation response is the opposite of the stress response. Now, his Harvard colleagues said, oh, well, that's just the placebo effect. Yes, the placebo effect is the best evidence we have that our thoughts control our bodies. The placebo effect, the idea that you will get better if you think you will, first surfaced in the late 1800s which interestingly is the same time Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were founding Unity after they healed themselves with meditation and prayer. And they started writing about the power of the mind to heal. It was 1955 when fake drugs were first used in a control group for scientific research for a drug study. And about a third of the patients got better on a placebo. And since then, when placebos are used in drug studies, some people get better on the drug, but a lot get better on the sugar pill. Half the people who have ulcers get better on placebos. 40% who have headaches. Half the people with asthma breathe better with a fake inhaler. In one study of surgery they were doing for angina, more people got better with the fake surgery than the real surgery. They stopped doing the real surgery after a while. And you've heard about the study of people who had fake knee replacements. They're out playing basketball on the same old knee. They just don't know it. They're not being tricked. They sign a release form that says, yes, I know, I might be getting a placebo. And to be fair, the placebo may not be just our thinking. Doctors have come up with all sorts of other reasons, like, well, patients are used to feeling better after they get a pill from someone in a white coat, so it's just a Pavlov's dog kind of response. It could be that they're getting more attention and emotional support because they're in a clinical trial. Or maybe they're sneaking other treatments, like vitamins. And sometimes bodies just heal themselves. Or it could be the relaxation response. I'm finally getting treatment for this problem. There's a good chance I'll get better. And once we relax, we do get better. You know, optimists live longer. There's a famous nun study. Cheerful nuns and uncheerful nuns. Some of you grew up with the uncheerful nuns. They were in the same environment in the convent, and they were tracked from the time they entered the convent until old age. 90% of the most cheerful nuns were still alive at 84. Only 34% of the least cheerful nuns were still alive. So if you had that bad Catholic school experience, just know they're not here anymore. There are studies that show happy people have stronger immune systems. Everything we think and feel is embodied, meaning it literally becomes part of our bodies. Our thoughts trigger physical responses that can now be measured in blood and sweat and breathing. We can even watch our brains light up to show what we're thinking. So what do we do with this information? Should you quit going to doctors, just meditate and pray and expect to get well? Or say optimistic affirmations? Lisa Rankin lists 6 steps to healing. They're spiritual in that they tap the spirit within. And you know these. I just like knowing we can back these up with science. First is to believe you can heal yourself. Claim your power in this situation. Take responsibility for your own healing. It's not just doing what the doctors say. But the second one is about doctors. She says, find the right support for you. Now, you might use Western medicine. Doctors know more all the time about how to help us. You might try alternative medicine. You might read and pray and sing and walk and be in nature and change your diet. But all of that is just one of the 6 steps to healing. Third is to listen to your body and intuition. Pay attention to how you feel. Stay tuned in to inner guidance. Emily Cady wrote Lessons in Truth. It's a classic Unity book in 1904, and she was a homeopathic doctor. And her line about this is, first to God, then to man as God directs. In other words, follow your guidance. Our society has all kinds of judgments now about what kind of treatment you get. Some people think alternative medicine is quackery. Some think Western medicine is just the drug companies trying to get your money. Some people swear by John of God in Brazil. Just don't buy into anyone else's opinions or experience or statistics. Listen to your body and intuition. The key to being healthy is do whatever brings you peace of mind. Because whenever you can relax and let go of a little stress, you get a little bit healthier. So let that guide you in every decision. Which path brings you more peace? Fourth is to diagnose the root cause of the illness. Lisa Rankin says when she was practicing medicine, she was an OBGYN, she said the best question she could ask a patient was, what do you think you need in order to get well? And she was astonished at what they blurted out. Things like, I need to leave my abusive marriage, or I need to quit my job. It wasn't medical stuff. We know deep down what's making us sick. Just look at whatever's stressing you out. Fifth is to write a prescription for yourself based on what you know you need. She says, if you're lonely, you're stuck in a toxic relationship, you're full of resentment for people who've hurt you, you're cheating on your partner, you're selling your soul at work, or you feel spiritually bankrupt, no amount of veggies, gym visits, 12-step programs, or vitamins is going to cut it. Radical self-care involves things like setting boundaries, living in alignment with your truth, surrounding yourself with love and a sense of connection, and spending time doing what you love. You need radical self-care, not just in your health habits, but in the rest of your life. In the book, she has a long list of categories to check for how you're doing. Relationships, the meaning of your work, creativity, money, mental health, spirituality. She says maybe you need to declutter and feng shui your environment. She swears that a lot of us just need more sex. Apparently it's healthy. And at the bottom of her list is the physical stuff we hear about all the time. The green juice, vegan, yoga, getting enough sleep part. And then finally, step six for her is let go of the outcome. And remember that a cure and a healing are not the same thing. She says one patient worked through this whole process with such courage, even in the face of rapidly declining health. She fearlessly faced her truth, realigned all sorts of relationship contracts in her life, started living her dream, released old resentments, let go of old stale fears, forgave people she'd been holding grudges against since childhood, released herself from the false identity of her ego, and aligned with her inner pilot light in every aspect of her life. And then she died. But she did so with such grace that her death was a healing to dozens of other people, especially her family. She wasn't cured, but she died healed. Hundreds showed up for her funeral to express their gratitude for a life well lived and well ended. None of us is getting out of here alive. We only volunteered to be human temporarily. We thought it would be fun, and we'd learn a lot. We were issued this bodysuit to use in Earth's atmosphere. It seems to break down easily, but it has amazing power to repair itself. We've been putting together our own instruction manual by trial and error. We still are. What we're learning is the bodysuit is not just affected from outside. It's actually grown and maintained from inside. What we think, how we feel, how much stress we create for ourselves, and how happy we are will all affect the functioning of the bodysuit. So think about that. You're directing the show from within. Unity was founded on this very discovery that our minds can heal our bodies. Myrtle Fillmore said 130 years ago, I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. and she made herself well. Healing our bodies is part of expressing our own divinity. And the best, healthiest, most empowering thing we can do for our bodies is just relax. Breathe. Turn off your thoughts for a little while. Be still and know that all is well. It literally keeps us alive. So let's practice the relaxation response. We call it meditation. So this is the time in our service when we do relax, when we let go of our busy thoughts. And breathe. The reason to use a mantra is just to focus that busy mind. Keep it from making a grocery list and thinking about the rest of the day. Just focus here. Some people watch a candle flame. Whatever works for you to empty your mind. And when thoughts come back, and they will, just let them go and empty it again. And so for our time of relaxation, instead of a mantra, let's just focus on our bodies. Gratitude for our physical bodies. And the minds that create them. What a powerful combination we have. A mind that runs this physical vehicle to carry us through our human experience. We are better equipped for this journey than we realize. We have much more power than we have thought. Power to heal. Power to know that all is well. The placebo effect is nothing but the belief that everything's going to be all right. So let's choose to believe that. Take a deep breath, relax, and know that everything's going to be all right. You can almost feel the cells of your body getting happier. As our bodies relax, as our minds relax, we know that we are never separate from the divine. We have access to all the attributes of God, including the healing power. So we affirm for ourselves now that we are well and whole and perfect, and everything is all right. And so it is. Amen.